Hey everyone, story time with Aussie Dad, and today we're going to continue reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Chapter 15, The Chocolate Room. An important room, this, cried Mr. Wonka, taking a bunch of keys from his pocket and slipping one into the keyhole of the door. This is the nerve center of the whole factory, the heart of the whole business, and so beautiful. I insist upon my rooms being beautiful. I can't abide ugliness in factories. In we go then, but do be careful, my dear children. Don't lose your heads. Don't get overexcited. Keep very calm. Mr. Wonka opened the door. Five children and nine grown-ups pushed their ways in. And oh, what an amazing sight it was that now met their eyes. They were looking down upon a lovely valley. There were green meadows on either side of the valley, and along the bottom of it, there flowed a great brown river. What is more, there was a tremendous waterfall halfway along the river, a steep cliff over which the water curled and rolled in a solid sheet, and then went crashing down into a boiling, churning whirlpool of froth and spray. Below the waterfall, and this was the most astonishing sight of all, a whole mass of enormous glass pipes were dangling down into the river from somewhere high up in the ceiling. They really were enormous, those pipes. There must have been a dozen of them at least, and they were sucking up the brownish muddy water from the river and carrying it away to goodness knows where. And because they were made of glass, you could see the liquid flowing and bubbling along inside them. And above the noise of the waterfall, you could hear the never-ending suck, suck, sucking sound of the pipes as they did their work. Graceful trees and bushes were growing along the riverbanks, weeping willows and alders and tall clumps of rhododendrons with their pink and red and mauve blossoms. In the meadows, there were thousands of buttercups. There! Cried Mr. Wonka, dancing up and down and pointing his gold-topped cane at the great brown river. It's all chocolate! Every drop of that river is hot melted chocolate of the finest quality, the very finest quality. There's enough chocolate in there to fill every bathtub in the entire country, and all the swimming pools as well. Isn't it terrific? And just look at my pipes. They suck up the chocolate and carry the way to all the other rooms in the factory where it is needed. Thousands of gallons an hour, my dear children. Thousands and thousands of gallons. The children and their parents were too flabbergasted to speak. They were staggered. They were dumbfounded. They were bewildered and dazzled. They were completely bowled over by the hugeness of the whole thing. They simply stood and stared. The waterfall is most important, Mr. Wonka went on. It mixes the chocolate. It churns it up. It pounds it and beats it. It makes it light and frothy. No other factory in the world mixes its chocolate by waterfall, but it's the only way to do it properly. The only way. And do you like my trees? He cried, pointing with his stick. And my lovely bushes. Don't you think they look pretty? I told you I hated ugliness. And of course, they are all eatable. All made of something different and delicious. And do you like my meadows? Do you like my grass and my buttercups? The grass you're standing on, my dear little ones, is made of a new kind of soft, minty sugar that I've just invented. I call it swudge. Try a blade. Please do. It's delectable. Automatically, everybody bent down and picked one blade of grass. Everybody, that is, except Augustus Gloop, who took a big handful. And Violet Beauregard, before tasting her blade of grass, took the piece of world record-breaking chewing gum out of her mouth and stuck it carefully behind her ear. Isn't it wonderful, whispered Charlie. Hasn't it got a wonderful taste, Grandpa?
I could eat the whole field, said Grandpa Joe, grinning with delight. I could go around on all fours like a cow and eat every blade of grass in the field.
Try a buttercup, cried Mr. Wonka. They're even nicer. Suddenly, the air was filled with screams of excitement. The screams came from Veruca Salt. She was pointing frantically to the other side of the river. Look! Look over there, she screamed. What is it? He's moving. He's walking. It's a little person. It's a little man. Down there, below the waterfall. Everybody stopped picking buttercups and stared across the river. "She's right, Grandpa," cried Charlie. "It is a little man. Can you see him?"
"I see him, Charlie," said Grandpa Joe excitedly, and now everybody started shouting at once.
"There's two of them.
My gosh, so there is. There's more than two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What are they doing? Where do they come from? Who are they?"
Children and parents alike rushed down to the edge of the river to get a closer look.
"Aren't they fantastic?
They're higher than my knee. Look at their funny long hair."
The tiny men, they were no larger than medium-sized dolls, had stopped what they were doing, and now they were staring back across the river at the visitors. One of them pointed towards the children, and then he whispered something to the other four, and all five of them burst into peals of laughter.
"But they can't be real people," Charlie said.
"Of course they're real people," Mr. Wonk answered. "They're Oompa Loompas."
Chapter 16, The Oompa Loompas.
"Oompa Loompas," everyone said at once. "Oompa Loompas, imported direct from Loompaland," said Mr. Wonka proudly.
"There's no such place," said Mrs. Salt.
"Excuse me, dear lady, but..."
"Mr. Wonka," cried Mrs. Salt, "I'm a teacher of geography."
"Then you'll know all about it," said Mr. Wonka. "And oh, what a terrible country it is. Nothing but thick jungles infested by the most dangerous beasts in the world. Hornswogglers and snozwangers and those terrible wicked wangdoodles. A wangdoodle would eat 10 Oompa Loompas for breakfast and come galloping back for a second helping. When I went out there, I found the little Oompa Loompas living in treehouses. They had to live in treehouses to escape from the wangdoodles and the hornswogglers and the snozwangers. And they were living on green caterpillars, and the caterpillars tasted revolting. And the Oompa Loompas spent every moment of the days climbing through the treetops, looking for other things to mash up with the caterpillars to make them taste better. Red beetles, for instance, and eucalyptus leaves, and the bark of the bonbon tree. All of them beastly, but not quite so beastly as the caterpillars. Poor little Oompa Loompas. The one food that they longed for more than any other was the cacao bean, but they couldn't get it. An Oompa Loompa was lucky if he found 3 or 4 cacao beans a year. But oh, how they craved them. They used to dream about cacao beans all night and talk about them all day. You had only to mention the word cacao to an Oompa Loompa and you'd start dribbling at the mouth.
The cacao bean, Mr. Wonka continued, which grows on the cacao tree, happens to be the thing from which all chocolate is made. You cannot make chocolate without the cacao bean. The cacao bean is chocolate. I myself use billions of cacao beans every week in this factory. And so, my dear children, as soon as I discovered that the Oompa Loompas were crazy about this particular food, I climbed up to their treehouse village and poked my head in through the door of the treehouse belonging to the leader of the tribe. The poor little fellow, looking thin and starved, was sitting there trying to eat a bowl full of mashed up green caterpillars without being sick. "Look here," I said, speaking not in English, of course, but in Oompa Loompish. "Look here, if you and all your people come back to my country and live in my factory, you can have all the cacao beans that you want. I've got mountains of them in my storehouses. You can have cacao beans for every meal. You can gorge yourself silly on them. I'll even pay your wages in cacao beans if you wish."
"You really mean it?"
asked the Oompa Loompa leader, leaping up from his chair.
"Of course I mean it," I said, "and you can have chocolate as well. Chocolate tastes even better than cacao beans because it's got milk and sugar added."
The little man gave a great whoop of joy and threw his bowl of mashed caterpillars right out of the treehouse window.
"It's a deal," he cried. "Come on, let's go."
So I slipped them all over here, every man, woman and child in the Oompa Loompa tribe. It was easy. I smuggled them over in large packing cases with holes in them and they all got here safely. They are wonderful workers. They all speak English now. They love dancing and music. They're always making up songs. I expect you'll hear a good deal of singing today from time to time. I must warn you, though, that they are rather mischievous. They like jokes. They still wear the same kind of clothes they wore in the jungle. They insist upon that. The men, as you can see for yourselves across the river, wear only deerskins. The women wear leaves, and the children wear nothing at all. The women use fresh leaves every day.
"Daddy,"
shouted Veruca Salt, the girl who got everything she wanted.
"Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa. I want you to get me an Oompa Loompa. I want an Oompa Loompa right away. I want to take it home with me." Go on, Daddy. Get me an Oompa Loompa.
Now, now, my pet, her father said to her. We mustn't interrupt Mr. Wonka.
But I want an Oompa Loompa! Screamed Veruca.
All right, Veruca, all right. But I can't get it for you this second. Please be patient. I'll see you have one before the day is out.
Augustus! Shouted Mrs. Gloop. Augustus, sweetheart! I don't think you'd better do that.
Augustus Gloop, as you might have guessed, had quietly sneaked down to the edge of the river, and he was now kneeling on the riverbank, scooping hot-mouthed chocolate into his mouth as fast as he could.
Chapter 17. Augustus Gloop Goes Up the Pipe. When Mr. Wonka turned round and saw what Augustus Gloop was doing, he cried out, Oh no! Please, Augustus, please, I beg of you not to do that! My chocolate must be untouched by human hands!
Augustus, called out Mrs. Gloop, didn't you hear what the man said? Come away from that river at once.
This stuff is fabulous, said Augustus, taking not the slightest notice of his mother or Mr. Wonka.
Gosh, I need a bucket to drink it properly.
Augustus, cried Mr. Wonka, hopping up and down and waggling his stick in the air. You must come away. You are dirtying my chocolate.
Augustus, cried Mrs. Gloop.
Augustus, cried Mr. Gloop.
But Augustus was deaf to everything except the call of his enormous stomach. He was now lying full length on the ground with his head far out over the river, lapping up the chocolate like a dog.
Augustus, shouted Mrs. Gloop, you'll be giving that nasty cold of yours to about a million people all over the country.
Be careful, Augustus, shouted Mr. Gloop, you're leaning too far out.
Mr. Gloop was absolutely right. For suddenly there was a shriek, and then a splash, and into the river went Augustus Gloop, and in 1 second he had disappeared under the brown surface.
Save him! Screamed Mrs. Gloop, going white in the face and waving her umbrella about. He'll drown! He can't swim a yard! Save him! Save him!
Good heavens, woman, said Mr. Gloop. I'm not diving in there. I've got my best suit on.
Augustus Gloop's face came up again to the surface, painted brown with chocolate.
Help! 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 He yelled. Fish me out!
Don't just stand there, Mrs. Gloop screamed at Mr. Gloop. Do something!
I am doing something, said Mr. Gloop, who was now taking off his jacket and getting ready to dive into the chocolate. But while he was doing this, the wretched boy was being sucked closer and closer towards the mouth of one of the great pipes that was dangling down into the river. Then all at once, the powerful suction took hold of him completely, and he was pulled under the surface and then into the mouth of the pipe. The crowd on the riverbank waited breathlessly to see where he would come out.
There he goes,
somebody shouted, pointing upwards. And sure enough, because the pipe was made of glass, Augustus Gloop could be clearly seen shooting up inside it, head first like a torpedo.
Help! Murder! Peace! Screamed Mrs. Gloop. Augustus, come back at once! Where are you going?
It's a wonder to me, said Mr. Gloop, how that pipe is big enough for him to go through it.
It isn't big enough, said Charlie Bucket. Oh dear, look, he's slowing down.
So he is, said Grandpa Joe.
He's going to stick, said Charlie.
I think he is, said Grandpa Joe.
By golly, he has stuck, said Charlie.
It's his stomach that's done it, said Mr. Gloop.
He's blocked the whole pipe, said Grandpa Joe.
Smash the pipe, yelled Mrs. Gloop, still waving her umbrella. Augustus, come out of there at once.
The watchers below could see the chocolate swishing around the boy in the pipe, and they could see it building up behind him in a solid mass, pushing against the blockage. The pressure was terrific. Something had to give. Something did give, and that something was Augustus.
Woof! Up he shot again like a bullet in the barrel of a gun.
He's disappeared, yelled Mrs. Gloop. Where does that pipe go to? Quick, call the fire brigade.
Keep calm, cried Mr. Wonka. Keep calm, my dear lady, keep calm. There is no danger, no danger whatsoever. Augustus has gone on a little journey, that's all. A most interesting little journey, but he'll come out of it just fine. You wait and see.
How
can he possibly come out just fine?" snapped Mrs. Gloop. "He'll be made into marshmallows in 5 seconds." "Impossible!" cried Mr. Wonka. "Unthinkable! Inconceivable! Absurd! He could never be made into marshmallows!"
"And why not, may I ask?" shouted Mrs. Gloop.
"Because that pipe doesn't go anywhere near it.
That pipe, the one Augustus went up, happens to lead directly to the room where I make a most delicious kind of strawberry-flavoured chocolate-coated fudge."
"Then you'll be made into strawberry-flavoured chocolate-coated fudge," screamed Mrs. Gloop. "My poor Augustus, I'll be selling by the pound all over the country tomorrow morning."
"Quite right," said Mr. Gloop.
"I am right," said Mrs. Gloop.
"It's beyond a joke," said Mr. Gloop.
"Mr. Wonka doesn't seem to think so," cried Mr. Gloop. "Just look at him. He's laughing his head off. How dare you laugh like that when my boy's just gone up the pipe? You monster!" she shrieked, pointing her umbrella at Mr. Wonka as though she were going to run him through.
"You think it's a joke, do you? You think that sucking my boy up into your fudge room like that is just one great big colossal joke?"
"He'll be perfectly safe," said Mr. Wonka, giggling slightly.
"He'd be chocolate fudge," shrieked Mrs. Gloop.
"Never!" cried Mr. Wonka.
"Of course he will," shrieked Mrs. Gloop.
"I wouldn't allow it," cried Mr. Wonka.
"And why not?" shrieked Mrs. Gloop.
"Because the taste would be terrible," said Mr. Wonka.
"Just imagine it. Augustus flavoured chocolate-coated gloop. No one would buy it."
"They most certainly would," cried Mr. Gloop indignantly.
"I don't want to think about it," shrieked Mrs. Gloop.
"Nor do I," said Mr. Wonka.
"And I do promise you, madam, that your darling boy is perfectly safe."
"If he's perfectly safe, then where is he?" snapped Mrs. Gloop.
"Lead me to him this instant."
Mr. Wonka turned around and clicked his fingers sharply, click, 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 3 times. Immediately, an Oompa Loompa appeared as if from nowhere and stood beside him. The Oompa Loompa bowed and smiled, showing beautiful white teeth. His skin was rosy white, his long hair was golden brown, and the top of his head came just above the height of Mr. Wonka's knee. He wore the usual deerskin slung over his shoulder.
"Now listen to me," said Mr. Wonka, looking down at the tiny man. "I want you to take Mr. and Mrs. Gloop up to the fudge room and help them to find their son Augustus. He's just gone up the pipe."
The Oompa Loompa took one look at Mrs. Gloop and exploded into peals of laughter.
"Oh, do be quiet," said Mr. Wonka. "Control yourself. Pull yourself together. Mrs. Gloop doesn't think it's at all funny."
"You can say that again," said Mrs. Gloop.
"Go straight to the fudge room," Mr. Wonka said to the Oompa Loompa, "and when you get there, take a long stick and start poking around inside the big chocolate mixing barrel. I'm almost certain you'll find him in there. But you'd better look sharp. You'll have to hurry. If you leave him in the chocolate mixing barrel too long, he's liable to get poured out into the fudge boiler, and that really would be a disaster, wouldn't it? My fudge would become quite uneatable."
Mrs. Gloop let out a shriek of fury.
"I'm joking," said Mr. Wonka, giggling madly behind his beard. "I didn't mean it. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. Goodbye, Mrs. Gloop and Mr. Gloop. Goodbye. I'll see you later."
As Mr. and Mrs. Gloop and their tiny escort hurried away, the 5 Oompa Loompas on the far side of the river suddenly began hopping and dancing about and beating wildly upon a number of very small drums.
"Augustus Gloop," they chanted. "Augustus Gloop, Augustus Gloop, Augustus Gloop."
"Grandpa," cried Charlie. "Listen to them, Grandpa. What are they doing?"
"Shh," whispered Grandpa Joe. "I think they're going to sing us a song."
"Augustus Gloop," chanted the Oompa Loompas. "Augustus Gloop, Augustus Gloop, the great big greedy nincompoop. How long could we allow this beast to gorge and guzzle, feed and feast on everything he wanted to? Great Scott, it simply wouldn't do. However long this pig might live, we're positive he'd never give even the smallest bit of fun or happiness to anyone. So what we do in cases such as this, we use the gentle touch, and carefully we take the brat and turn him into something that will give great pleasure to us all. a doll for instance, or a ball, or marbles, or a rocking horse, but this revolting boy, of course, was so unutterably vile, so greedy, foul, and infantile, he left the most disgusting taste inside our mouths, and so in haste we chose a thing, come what may, would take the nasty taste away. Come on, we cried, the time is right to send him shooting up the pipe. He has to go, it has to be, and very soon he's going to see, inside the room to watch he's gone, some funny things are going on. But don't, dear children, be alarmed, Augustus Gloop will not be harmed. Although, of course, we must admit, he will be altered quite a bit. He'll be quite changed from what he's been when he goes through the fudge machine. Slowly the wheels go round and round, the cogs begin to grind and pound. 100 knives go slice, 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 we add some sugar, cream and spice. We boil him for a minute more, until we're absolutely sure that all the greed and all the gore is boiled away for once and all. Then out he comes, and now by grace, a miracle has taken place. This boy who only just before was loathed by men from shore to shore, this greedy brute, this louse's ear, is loved by people everywhere. For who could hate or bear a grudge against a luscious bitter fudge?
I told you they love singing, cried Mr. Wonka. Aren't they delightful? Aren't they charming? But you mustn't believe a word they said. It's all nonsense, every bit of it.
Are the Oompa Loompas really joking, Grandpa? Asked Charlie.
Of course they're joking, answered Grandpa Joe. They must be joking. At least, I hope they're joking. Don't you?